after like 30 or 45 minutes of talking, we're like, hey, we probably should start the show now.
I think we should.
We should probably start getting going.
Talk about our episode.
Our episode now. I mean, it's just, yeah, we have a lot going on.
You know, life.
Life is.
It just keeps going on.
And new adventures.
It's always
adventures.
New, yeah.
New adventures. Life is always good. Regardless.
That's true. I have found that to be the case.
Yeah. Welcome to the Catholic Man Show. Dave.
Are you talking to me? You talking to me? Thank you.
Yeah. Welcome to your show.
Adam. Welcome.
Thank you. This is the month, I believe. Oh, no. Next month is the month of 9 years for the Catholic Man Show.
Yes.
April. April's when we actually...
It's the very end of April, isn't it? Yeah.
April, yeah. 9 years of the Catholic Man Show. I think we're over 500 episodes now. Pretty impressive.
Isn't that that's incredible.
That is incredible.
I think
scary.
9 years is more incredible than 500 episodes. I think there's probably a lot of podcasts who hit 500 a lot sooner than we did.
Oh, yeah.
Because they do more than one a week.
Right. That idea of more than one a week for a long time, like when we first started, the idea of having more than one a week was basically like Joe Rogan does it. And that no one else is allowed to do it, basically.
Mm-hmm.
It was a one a week thing.
It really is amazing how things have evolved because, you know, when we first started, it was, oh, we're a radio show
mm-hmm.
that does a podcast. And like the fact that we were a radio show was like credibility.
Right.
Yeah.
But people didn't know we owned the radio show, a radio station in which our radio show played.
Yeah, they don't have a choice because they are us.
Yeah.
And then, you know, it became more short format. Oh, keep it punchy. Keep it quick. People don't want to wait forever. And then all of a sudden it was like, no, we're done with that. We want it to take forever.
We want to keep talking until their ears bleed.
Which is like Joe Rogan. I mean, I think he was the one who kind of pushed it in that direction. Like, no, give me a 4-hour podcast every day.
Right.
Because I guess I can. Well, I don't understand how people listen to Joe Rogan. I mean, I like a lot of the things that other people tell me he says on his podcast. He was like, oh, how interesting. No kidding. You didn't say that. That sounds like a really good interview. I'm never going to go and listen to it. It's 3 hours long, you know?
Right. Well, I mean, it shows his creative and, like, one, he's a fantastic interviewer.
Tons loaded with skill.
Absolutely.
And,
But he also was just very innovative, right? The TV stations who were the ones who were like, keep it quick, keep it pithy, you know, 30-minute program sessions, which is really 21 minutes after the commercials, or if you have an hour segment, then that, I mean, that means you're a big time, right? Which is really about 48 minutes to 51 minutes of actual content. And it's like, well, people can't listen past that. Like, and then they're sitting there looking at Joe Rogan doing 3-hour conversations. They're like, what an idiot. Who's going to do that? Who has exactly what you were saying? Who has that kind of time to listen to this? No one's going to do this.
Yeah. You know who doesn't? I don't. I don't know how.
Well,
I
think it really shows how people actually have a desire to learn. People aren't
right
because
that's what he has the opportunity to do is really do a deep dive
on topics,
and he, you know, gets excellent guests.
Of course,
you know he really does. He brings on very interesting people.
Yeah,
isn't it weird to think back? Like, what if you go back to let's see, what is this 2004? And it's like you go up, somebody's like, see that dude who's the host of this show called Fear Factor? Someday he's going to rule the media. He's going to be the king of media. It's like, Fear Factor guy, you know?
Right. Yeah. I mean, it's really incredible what he's done and like how apparently he was a guy who was telling all of his comedy buddies to say, like, hey, you need to do a podcast. Like, stop doing all these TV show things. Stop doing all of these promotional things that you guys are doing. Focus on your stand-up. Focus on building out a podcast in your own audience.
Mm-hmm.
That's the way to do it. And look at him now. I mean, most of them are millionaires.
He's doing all right.
He's doing all right, yeah.
He's okay.
He's doing okay. Dave, what's been going on in your life? Is there any breaking news or anything that has maybe fractured your time?
We've literally had little girls falling out of the sky around here.
Really?
Or trees, either one. Yeah, little Bernadette, frail little Bernadette.
Beautiful Bernadette.
She did break her arm this last week.
How did she break her arm, Dave?
She fell out of a tree. She was climbing trees. I only found out about this later. We have three very large sycamore trees in our front yard. And so I was asking her after we were at the hospital, how did you get into that tree? Like, the lowest branch I cannot reach.
Wow.
I can jump and grab it. But yeah,
how,
like,
did she do that?
Well, that's what I wanted to know.
She's little bitty.
She said, well, you have to climb the tree next to it. And then you can go from that tree into the sycamore. It's like a squirrel.
You monkeyed over
and
there.
And I have since gone out there and it's like, this is the branch you're going from tree to tree on? Yeah, it gets like, you know, I think we're, you and I, we're like paying for our that one episode we did like 6 months ago or whatever. Where it's like, you got to let your kids climb trees.
Yes.
And I stand behind that. But the thing is, sometimes they get hurt.
Yes. So months ago, we had an episode where we were talking about how it's, don't be helicopter parents. Let your kids be outside. Let them explore. Let them, you know, take adventures and risks and let them kind of test their own limits. And if they, you know, let them climb trees. And if they, you know, if they fall, they learn consequences and, you know, it's okay. And, you know, right after that episode, I think the week after that episode, Luke fell out of a tree.
Yeah. I mean, it was days later.
Yes. And it was not good.
He had a very unique bad injury. I mean,
very bad injury.
It was cosmetic, as it turns out, but
now, yeah. I mean, but it was like millimeters away from
it could
death.
It could have been, yeah, like very serious.
And then,
but that was a very fluke thing.
Very fluke, yeah.
Yeah.
And then Bernadette.
Yeah,
as
so
well.
She fell out. I mean, it was probably like 11 feet that she fell.
Man.
And she kind of went head first. Totally, you know, no concussion. Totally fine there.
God.
Yeah, but she did. It was like totally broke her left arm right above the elbow. Supercondylar. I always want to say
bishop.
I know, dude. It's so hard not to say condyla. I think it's condyla. Supercondylar. I could be wrong about that. If I'm at least close.
Is it fragile? Super
fragilistic.
Yes,
yeah.
Yeah.
I'm at least close on whatever the medical term is. All the medical people know, because it's the most common.
Kyle Myers is over here just yelling
at
us.
He knows. He definitely knows.
Yeah, that dude knows.
Because it's by far the most common injury for children her age.
All right.
Anyway, you know, super tough kid, you know, little kids are tough.
Mm-hmm.
I was really proud of her. She's got a cast.
Doing okay.
She's doing great.
No growth plates were broken or anything like that?
It was very close to the... I mean, it was definitely in that area, but they said they don't think it'll... It's very rare for it to impact.
Because an adult with that little bitty of a hand or arm would be...
be weird.
Be a little awkward.
It would be weird.
But I'm glad that she's doing well, yes.
Yeah. What about you? Anything?
Well, no one's fallen out of a tree, which is good.
Mm.
I talked about like shooting possums recently, right?
Yes,
I
you've been
where I got scared to death almost.
Yes,
I think I told that story already. We're building a fence around our garden right now.
Nice.
We're attempting to, which is a lot of work.
Uh huh.
And I'm working on my shop, and now I get to work on my roof.
Yes, so for people who don't live in Oklahoma, we had wind gusts up to like 68 miles an hour last week.
It was ridiculous.
It was.
Fires.
Yeah, dude. The governor's house burned down.
Yes.
I think it was his like second home, but...
This is ranch home. Stillwater got hit really hard. Manford, yeah. I mean,
Stillwater lost 77 homes is last I heard.
It's terrible, yeah. So... yeah, other than that, did the JFK files come out?
I haven't heard anything. Then that could have been a false rumor I heard that they were gonna today, but I haven't heard anything about that. I do have, since we've talked a lot about chickens lately, I do have a broody chicken.
Oh, nice.
Sitting on 20 eggs.
Wow, that's a lot.
My goal for the spring, I decided, is to hatch 80 chicks.
That'd be cool.
All while with doing basically nothing.
Yeah, that'd be great.
Yeah.
We have,
and then I can like give them away or sell them.
We have like
16,
I think, right now, little chicks. But so, hey, hot take on conspiracy theories with JFK. Do you have any?
I don't know if it's how conspiratorial it is, but I think the government was in on it.
Yeah, I think it. Yeah,
I think that's kind of it, no. It's been.
It's just a matter of
sort of unofficially confirmed.
It's just like how much did they know and how culpable are they, right? Yeah, I mean, yeah. Isn't that the game that we're playing right now?
Yeah. Yeah. So obviously I have no idea. I don't know anything. Just like it, the rest, just like everybody else. But I think the government was in on it.
Yeah. There's a fascinating,
I don't know why they won't release the files.
Killing Kennedy, that book.
Uh-huh. I've heard of it. I haven't read it.
What is his name? What is the author's name? Bill O'Reilly. Golly.
Yeah, because he does all the killing.
Yeah. I was up at 4 o'clock this morning, so I'm on fumes. Mm. But that book was fascinating to read through the life of, you know, JFK and kind of leading up to the death and Lee Harvey Oswald. There, finally got it.
You did it.
You know, and how crazy that guy was. But yeah, I don't know. I'll be somewhat interested, and then also odds are I will be not surprised.
Everybody involved is not living, so I don't know why. I don't know what the holdup is in releasing the files. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I don't know either. But whatever God's will be done,
we should live by His divine providence.
That's what we should do.
Hey, we should talk more about that when we come back.
All right, let's do it.
Men, do you feel stuck in old idols or burdened by the pharaohs of our time? Do you know that you're capable of so much more than you are giving today? Exodus 90 is the number one freedom app to help you become the man you were created to be. Exodus 90 is a powerful 90-day journey to freedom in Jesus Christ. Download the Exodus 90 app today to join tens of thousands of men from all around the world.
Welcome back to the Catholic Man Show. I'm David Niles, here with Adam Minahan. Adam, what are we drinking today? Because
it's delicious.
It is ever so good.
Ardbeg Eureka.
I love Ardbeg.
It is an Islay Scotch. 25 years of the Ardbeg Committee.
I might, if I have another son.
Name him Ardbeg?
His middle name might be Ardbeg.
This is designed by committee, sort of, is what it says. It's probably...
Sounds like the church.
Yeah.
It was like, yeah, we're going to have a committee to decide what we should do, and then we're going to do what I wanted to do in the first place anyway. But this way we can make it seem like it was the committee.
We came to a consensus.
Yeah.
It was what I wanted.
Yeah. We came to a consensus, and this is what we decided. It's like, no, that's what you decided, man.
But yeah, it's absolutely delicious. It is 52.2% ABV. Ardbeg is a peaty kind of scotch, so if you don't like peat, then you will not like this, but it is very good. It's called Eureka.
One of my favorite distillers just have a lot of variety in their different products.
It's a little bit of sherry cask, which is nice. Bourbon cask's nice, which is why it has a little bit of sweetness to it, right?
Mm-hmm.
It is notes of salted, crispy seaweed.
Crispy seaweed. I thought when I smelled the seaweed, I was like, gosh, it doesn't smell like wet seaweed. It smells like
crispy.
Like that one time where I was like around all that crispy seaweed. And I was like, that's the smell it is.
Yes. Sweet cinnamon jostle with dark chocolate coated raisins and burning embers. Paradoxical whiskey truly benefiting.
Wait, burning embers as opposed to like unburning embers?
We call that coal.
I mean, it's like an ember. That's redundant. I'm just going to say that.
Seems to be. Paradoxical whiskey truly benefiting the hotchpotch nature of the committee. I didn't know it was hotchpotch. I would say hodgepodge.
That's what I... How is it spelled? How is it spelled?
Hotchpotch.
Must be a Scottish thing.
Mm. United by a love of all things smoky. More on the Lord's team.
The winning side.
So raise your glass.
Cheers to Jesus.
Cheers. So, Dave, one other thing that people have been asking about, we've been getting a lot of inquiries about the camp out.
Yes.
And to let everybody know, it's the last weekend of September, as it has been the last...
3 years?
3 or 4 years. Yeah. Last weekend of September is the Catholic Mancho camp out.
Put it on your calendar.
Put it on your calendar.
And then keep listening, because...
I guess this will be... Is this will be our 10-year? Because we actually started the camp out before the show, right?
Yeah, I mean, it depends on if you actually count that first year.
We should count it, because who knows?
Well, what we did was... No, because we recorded an episode of the Catholic Man Show.
On there.
So we could not have started the camp out...
Before.
Without... We couldn't have called it a Catholic Man Show camp out.
I think we had one that was a camp out, and it was so much fun, then we were like, we should
do... We may have gone camping a year before that, but right. I think we have to just call that a camp out.
Okay. I think you're right. Yeah.
Yeah.
But you should join us. Last weekend of September, we'll have...
At Clear Creek,
Abbey. We'll have that sign up later on. We're also going on a pilgrimage, which we want you to come. We've been getting a lot of inquiries about that as well. People are asking... In fact, I had an email today asking about how many people and how many spots are left. And I told them I had not looked it up. I don't know how many spots are left. I know, though, we're taking a small group intentionally to you know, kind of be together, which they were like, oh, I'm so glad... I hate going on big pilgrimages. So anyway, yeah, check it out. SelectInternationalTours.com. We're going to Rome. We're going to go see, you know, the place of Padre Pio, Blessed Carlo Acutis. We're going to Assisi. It'll be amazing.
It is. It is going to be amazing. And there is a strong likelihood that we'll be there for the papal audience of the next pope.
Possibly.
God willing, that will be the case. Not my will, but his. I don't mean that like I'm hoping that that's the case, you know, the way we kind of use God willing,
yeah,
like, as if we're encouraging. That's not what I mean in that just now.
When you were saying that, I was like,
meant
David.
If it's God's will, there will be a new pope. I don't mean like, please, God, let there be a new pope.
We pray for the health of
absolutely.
Pope Francis.
But we do all have to die.
Someday.
At some point.
Yeah. So anyway,
I don't know about you. I look forward to dying. I think it's going to be exciting. If you're ready, if you're prepared, right?
Yes. Here's the thing about death from my perspective.
Tell me.
I haven't been around a lot of it, which I think is very weird. You know, for the human race to not experience death a lot is so weird compared to all of human history.
I definitely think you're right that all prior generations had a familiarity with death that was on a much, much higher scale, even if it was just from proximity to their food, right? Mm-hmm. That the meat that they ate,
right,
they got because they slaughtered it.
Right.
You know, before refrigeration... You know, if you didn't have access to salt, you weren't preserving things,
right?
You know,
so it's still kind of death for me is still, I'm not like, I, because I'm unfamiliar with it, I guess I should say. And so I just have a lot of questions. And the times that I've been around death have been around very holy people. And it's been very interesting to see that. And it's been you know, the death is coming.
Yeah.
And so the only time I've had a death that has not been like that was a buddy of mine who died in college and very unexpectedly. And that was probably the only time that I experienced that.
Yeah. And that's tough because, you know, it's not a situation where you're prepared. Because when you're in college, you're not thinking that you're going to die, right?
Right.
But... I'm just thinking about, you're on your deathbed. You've had a life of developing this relationship with Christ, hopefully, getting to know him better and better throughout your life. And I think that you will know. I think most people know. It's very soon. Like, I may have just a handful of breaths left at the very end. And in 5 more breaths, I'm going to meet face to face the maker of the universe and my Lord.
Mm-hmm.
he's going to be in front of me. I'm going to look at him, mm-hmm. and I'm going to see him looking at me. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like,
right. And it's like, Lord, I'm really sorry about like having that attachment to that kind of sin.
I mean, like, no matter how holy of a life I can possibly scrape together, mercy will be the word on my lips.
Oh, without a doubt.
In that moment, sure.
Please.
But still, I know that he is merciful, right? And like, I think I'm going to be incredibly excited.
I hope so.
You know, I'm getting excited right now.
I know you are.
Just thinking about it.
I know, that's really weird. Or not weird, but
like what if somebody told you, hey, you're going to walk through that door and you will actually see a locution of like Christ is there. He's asking for you.
Right.
And you're actually going to like, he's in there. And you're going to go in there and you're going to talk to him. Like, wouldn't you be like jazzed about that, you know?
But yeah, I would be. I also know that, you know, that's the last few minutes of your life. You know, that's when Satan tries to throw the kitchen sink at you, right?
Yeah, yeah. You got to, yeah, final perseverance.
Right. So that also is a little nerve-wracking. Yeah, I think that mercy, it would be on my lips just constantly. And like, just but, asking, you know, the Blessed Mother, just be with me, be with me, be
yes,
with me, be
oh,
with
gosh.
Me.
Yes, oh gosh. If you've lived a life of virtue and you've developed habits, then even though Satan does come and throw his, you know, last hurrah at you, those habits that you formed should should be a good guardrail.
Yes.
You know, into shielding you from
I've said this
things.
Quote before on the show, but I think it's a quote that I constantly go back to when I'm thinking about death, Memento Mori. And it's by John Sr. And about Our Lady as well. And he says, what will it be like for us when we say the Hail Mary for the last time, when now is the hour of our death, and we must say amen, which means, as we know, so be it.
Mm. It'll be crazy, man.
Right. This is why, like, we've kind of had this string of topics that have kind of come together where we've talked about many of times about how I just want to be thinking about heavenly realities,
mm-hmm.
heavenly things. I want my mind to be occupied by heavenly things, holy, good things. And where is it that I'm not, where is that in my life where that's not happening, and how can I change that?
Yes.
And a lot of the times it's like, it's like amoral, meaning it's not immoral, it's not moral. It's just like, I'm just doing this and I'm not thinking about anything other than just doing this. It's like, well, how do I bring Christ into that moment? How do mm-hmm. How do I sanctify that moment?
Yes.
And where is it that I need to really consider, I'm just completely absent from our Lord in this moment. And how do I welcome him into, because he desperately desires to be with us in that moment. So how can I do that? And why am I not? That's that I have been in my examination of conscience at night. That's mm-hmm. what I think about a lot.
Yeah. So I want to talk today about abandoning ourselves to divine providence. There's been many books written on this.
In fact, one including that's called Abandonment to Divine Providence.
Yes. For example. Because I think that it's the secret, it's the key to unlocking exactly all the things that you're just talking about. So, we're going to talk about it. We'll have a good conversation.
We'll see.
TBD. Do you feel like God is calling you to go on a pilgrimage? Well, for the last 34 years, Select International Tours has been leading pilgrimages to holy sites all over the world.
And you want, when you go on pilgrimages, Dave, you want to make sure you have the best hotels, you're touring with the best guides, and every detail has been addressed.
And that's exactly what you're getting with Select International Tours. So, for more information, go to their brand new website, selectinternationaltours.com. They have been a sponsor of the Catholic Man Show for a long time now. Even during the COVID pandemic, they were still sponsoring our show. A lot of other tour companies were really shutting down. These guys were consistent. So go to selectinternationaltours.com to find out more information about all the great pilgrimages they offer all over the world.
Welcome back. You're listening to the podcast. You didn't go anywhere. But on the radio, we went to commercial break. Either way, it's good to have you listening. Appreciate it. Appreciate all of our patrons. Patreon.com/TheCatholicManShow if you want to support us. Grateful for you guys. We have some guys who've been there for 8 years. I mean, that's the thing about a lot of our patrons. The guys who signed up early have continued on. May God reward them for their charity and generosity.
Indeed.
So tonight we're going to talk about divine providence. Interesting topic because there's a lot of confusion about God's will, right? Is God willing this to evil thing that's happened?
He has two wills.
Right. Permissive.
Yeah. He has an active will and the things he positively desires versus the things that he allows to happen.
For a greater good. It's always
he uses.
It's kind of like sacrificing your queen in chess. It's like, oh no, your queen. But the whole time he knew, I'm still going to put you in checkmate.
Kind of. Because if you sacrifice your queen, usually that's something you know that you're doing.
But the other person doesn't, maybe.
Maybe. Okay, if that's... Yeah, okay, maybe. It's a risky analogy, I think. it's a gambit of an analogy, Adam.
Since when have we not played risky analogies on the Catholic Man Show?
Now, let's say it's a bowl of candy.
All right. Okay, I'm following.
But yeah, so I just think this is a... It's a fundamental concept to think about and ponder. And it's just something I would desperately wish I was actually good at doing. So that's why I want to talk about it today.
So that other people can be really good about it and then
they
tell
can come
you.
Back. Yes. Find me.
Right.
And tell me how to do it.
At the camp out.
Yes. That would be great. I would love that.
Okay.
If you're very holy, please come and save me. To the camp out, and then we'll have a beer together. It'll be awesome. We'll be best friends. Sorry, Adam. But the basic idea here about abandoning yourself to divine providence is a radical trust in God's goodness and care for you. Okay? You know, I mentioned this the other day about my washer, and I just decided, you know what? I'm not even going to stress out about this. I'm just going to totally trust this into the Lord's hand. And then washer just started working. You know what? It's still working.
Fantastic.
It's awesome. But that we can recognize if we just have to be, we have to open our eyes. I mean, often it's just as simple as remembering to remember that God's will is in everything that happens to us, right? So I'm going to be pulling from a book today by Father Wilfred Stenison. He was a Carmelite priest, Swedish priest, who was a founder of Carmelite order, you know, sometime in the past.
In the 60s. 67 is when he founded it.
67, okay. And so he wrote this book, Into Your Hands, Father, Abandoning Ourselves to the God Who Loves Us. So a lot of this he's pulling from Charles de Foucauld and Charles Cassad. Who wrote Abandonment to Divine Providence? Or what's the other one? About having, you have to have a prayer life. It's all about the interior versus, it's only one of my favorite books, Adam. I'll think of it in a second. Anyway, what I liked about this.
Ways of Mental Prayer.
No. Hmm. What I liked about this book is that it's very practical. It takes some of these books, he quotes from them heavily in here, and I have read these other books, and so reading this one is very familiar, except it was more popular, written on a more popular level. I found it's very small book, very easy to read. It went very quickly, but it was just, it had all the nuggets from these other books, so it was really good. So that's, once again, Into Your Hands, Father, Abandoning Ourselves to the God Who Loves Us. It's from Ignatius. So he says that a problem that many people have today is that they no longer recognize God's will in everything that happens. This is a concept that I kind of struggled with when I first encountered it, like everything that happens, right? Because it makes it seem he's willing. Because
you don't understand will.
I commit sins. Is he willing me to commit? You know what I mean?
You don't understand passive will.
Right. That he's able to take even the things that are not what he actively wills and use them.
He allows it to happen.
Yes.
So that he can bring his greater glory. He can checkmate.
Right. So Father Stenison says that we need
that
to...
That analogy actually holds.
You're liking it? You feel it's...
I'm feeling better about it.
All right, good.
Yeah.
Good. Keep using it.
Okay.
He says that we need to distinguish between the actual deeds of someone, he says, for example, who slanders us. Okay, so distinguish the deed itself from the situation that comes to us as a result of the deed. Okay, so obviously it wasn't his will for slander to take place. But then now you are slandered, you now are in this situation, that he can use this...
For your humility, for growth in humility.
Yes, that he's so good. He's this master artist at using these situations to bring about a greater good. Augustine says that God makes use of evil in such a superb way and with such skill that the result is better than if it had never been, than if the evil had never taken place. Which is kind of hard to wrap your mind around.
Right.
You know, but it's something that Paul wrestles with, you know. So does that mean we should all just keep sinning? By no means.
Right. Don't sin boldly.
That's right. But, I mean, just think about that. This is
why we say, oh, happy fall.
Yes.
Which
that's
is
right.
also kind of scandalous.
It is scandalous, I think.
Right? Oh, happy fall. It's like, well, that wasn't a happy time.
Yeah, what's so good about it?
Right.
Well, Jesus. The one for us so great a redeemer, you know?
Right.
Jesus is pretty awesome.
The best.
He's the best. You're right. But, you know, just what you were saying before the last break, I mean, if you just think about, and if we're just aware, if this is just a concept that we keep in the fore of our mind, that the Lord is, he's speaking to us in everything that happens. Every situation is a gift, right? The good stuff and the bad stuff.
You know what? Because time is a gift.
Mm-hmm. Right. But we think about often the gifts we received. It's like, oh, that was a gift. That was a gift. But it's difficult to remember to think about the trials as gifts. But it's also sometimes hard to accept that fact, that this is also, this trial I'm undergoing, this is a gift. Because sometimes they don't feel that way. They don't feel like gifts.
No. Never. Like, most of the time, never.
There are little inconveniences that happen. It's like, oh, you know what? The Lord knows. Oh, I needed a little penance in my, you know, like, oh, this red light. I didn't make the light.
Mm-hmm.
The Lord wills for me to practice patience. Very well, Lord. I'll be patient.
Right.
How holy of me. I'm doing so well today.
Right.
You know, and then something really bad happens.
The dude cuts you off as he's speeding past you, and you're like,
yeah, I don't have to stand for this.
Right.
You know. But I just, if we think about how many things the Lord is trying... I mean, I just think about this in my own life. How many messages, how many things has the Lord been trying to tell me that I'm just deaf to? I'm not the man who has had ears to hear, and I should be, because he gave me ears,
mm-hmm.
and I'm not hearing with them. You know, he's trying to tell me things. He's, you know, encouraging me in every single moment. And, you know, I'm not trying to be obstinate. I don't take the time, or I haven't developed these habits to where I'm used to paying attention, you know, whatever it is, the good or the bad, and accepting it and being thankful for whatever it is. And the people who do that, you know, think about the holy people in your lives, they're good at this.
Mm-hmm.
Right? That even the terrible stuff, they have such joy and they just continue on in their lives. And this is its peace. This is how, this is where the, like, the deep, profound, undisturbable peace comes from.
Yeah, this is also where joy comes from too, right? That you can be joyful and yet be suffering, right? That you can reconcile the idea of I'm joyfully suffering for a greater good.
Mm.
And in fact, most of the time we're so blind or we have deaf ears that when we actually are not bringing our the Lord into the moments in our lives, when we're not thinking about heavenly realities, it is a lack of understanding what, like, living in true reality. Because everything that's happening is, like we said, a gift from Him.
Mm-hmm.
And when we divorce ourselves more and more from reality through virtual things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, I mean, like, the list is long today.
Yeah, the artificial things in our lives. It makes us callous to the true reality of living in true reality, namely that this life is preparing us for a greater life in heaven with Him, and the walks that we have with Him now on this earth allow us to grow closer to Him, so that way we can forever sing with the angels, "Holy, holy, holy," in heaven.
Yeah, that is.
But this world constantly wants to blind us, constantly wants to deafen us, constantly wants us to think of things that are not heavenly reality.
Drag us into the dirt.
Right.
Yeah, stoop us over.
Which is why you're able to, during Lent, sacrifice and joyfully sacrifice so that you can come more in tune with the reality.
We'll be right back. Welcome back to the Catholic Man Show. I'm David Niles here with Adam Minahan. We're talking about divine providence.
Providentially, I mean, we're talking about it.
Yeah, it was God's will for us to talk about this today. It's inescapable. It's not inescapable. I was going to say, like, this—that's a straw man. That it's a false rabbit hole.
False dichotomy.
It's not. But someone who's new to this concept might actually find themselves trapped down this line of thinking, well, wait, if everything happens that's God, you know, if God knows all things that's happened and He's foreseen it all and is using it all for His benefit, it's like, do I actually make choices? Yes.
Yes.
You do. In fact, I want to talk about that right now. Because obviously we want to do God's will.
Correct.
And sometimes there's this big question in your mind, am I doing God's will? I'm trying, but I feel like also maybe I'm not, because I don't know. He didn't send me an email.
Right.
You know?
It'd be zero text.
Sweet if he did. But this is what Father Stinnison says about this. He says, how can you know that you are living God's will? This is the sign.
Okay.
Yes. That's why I like this book. Okay. He's like, let me give you the answer. Yeah. You know, like, you had that one professor in college who said, on the test, there will be this question.
Right.
You're like, but you had to be in class
to know,
and they knew. That's why you never happened, Adam. Because
I am foreign to this concept.
Yeah, oh, you went to class. Yeah. He says, "How are you doing? You're doing living God's will. This is the sign. If you are troubled about anything, that means you are not completely abandoned to God's will."
Yeah. So this is like haunting for me, right? Because this is the whole idea of that worry.
When I read this, I thought about you.
Yeah, because this is that worry is a mild form of atheism,
mm-hmm.
right? That it's this, the Lord's will be done.
And we're not talking about stress,
right? Because that's different.
Yep, stress is different. And actually, we'll get to stress in here. Stress, he says, can be a sign of holiness. So that could be good for you, Adam.
I mean, our Lord was pretty stressful in the agony of the garden.
That's right. I mean, totally. But worry, anxiety, maybe is a better word to use. If you have anxiety about things, then that means you're not abandoned to God's will. And that
it's like, it's the idea that you don't have this holy detachment.
You know, obviously don't take this too far to what we're saying, but you know, in general, this is a true statement.
It's this holy indifference, this holy detachment that I understand, that I understand what my vocation is. I have a deep prayer life with our Lord. I desire to be close to him. He knows that. He knows that my desire to be close to him, it, that pleases him.
Yeah.
And so if and when I choose the wrong thing, or I'm not sure what to choose, it's like, well, just keep kind of just keep moving forward, repent, and keep moving forward.
Yeah, and it comes down to the it's a lack of trust, right? That what does Christ say? Look at the flowers of the field. Look at the birds. Mm-hmm. The Lord cares for you more than these, and yet He provides for every, it's like that. He really will. Why are you worried? Can you add one day to your life with all your worry? Mm-hmm. Right? That don't worry. Live your vocation well. Seek to do things, seek an ordered life, and the Lord will provide for you.
I love during this time in Lent is when we're, you know, we're praying the Stations of the Cross, the line, "Grant that I may love you always, and then do with me as you will."
Yeah.
It's just such a beautiful prayer.
I do like that.
Right? "Grant that I may love you, Lord, grant that I may love you always, and then just do with me as you will."
Mm. Yeah, I'm yours. Take me. You know, I have desires. You have to sacrifice those desires. Oh, I want a comfortable life. But what I want more than a comfortable life is I want you, and I want your will in my life. I want to be that which you made me for.
Do we truly believe what we pray when we say, "Thy will be done" in the Our Father?
So I want to read this to you. Because, man, when I read this, it was like, oh, man, this is a good one. He says that there can be so much escapism in our striving for a spiritual life. Right? We often flee from the concrete, apparently banal reality that is filled with God's presence to an artificial existence that corresponds to our own ideas of piety and holiness, but where God is not present. We seek for, like, no, this is the idea of holiness I have in my mind.
Mm-hmm.
Like, obviously, you know, I'm married up, and I have like 8 children, and they're all very well behaved, and we go to mass together, and people see us, and we're all dressed well, you know, and you know, we go home and we pray the most beautiful family rosary. And then we play games together as a family on Sunday.
Shoots and ladders.
Until dinner that my wife has had, you know, has had in the oven since the night before. And, you know, like...
And it's not burnt.
Yeah, and that we just create this idea of our own, in our own mind, what holiness looks like.
Sure.
Because often holiness, it's
messy.
Messy and gross. You know, sometimes it means spending time with people we don't like. Doing things I don't want to do, I'm uncomfortable with. There's a lot of uncomfortability.
Mother Teresa is a perfect example of this.
Perfect example, right? But man, when I read that, this idea of escapism in the spiritual life. He goes on to say that as long as we want to decide for ourselves where we will find God, we need not fear that we shall actually meet him. We will only meet ourselves, a touched up version of ourselves.
Hmm.
And I thought that was very profound because this is, I think, the big issue that we're talking about today is this abandonment.
Mm-hmm.
That I'm not, you know, Jesus, take the wheel, bro. Okay. Which I think is a kind of a bad song title, but I think he actually does. Jesus, let me just throw this out there. He wants you to keep driving. But he's the one holding
It'd
the map.
It'd be imprudent to do otherwise.
Yeah, in the seat next to you. But that we would surrender. I can just tell you that in my own life, I have had moments where I was afraid of trusting God's will for my life.
Oh, yeah, me too.
That because I thought he was going to, I was worried he was going to ask me to do something I didn't want to do. And at that time and in that moment, it was a very specific thing I was worried he was asking me to do.
I do that every day.
Right. But
there's not a day that goes by that I don't do that.
And I had this profound moment. It was in adoration, and I let go, and I said, you know, I had this epiphany. Maybe I should tell Jesus that I'm afraid he's going to ask me to do this. And so I was like, all right, Jesus, here's the deal. I've been kind of holding out on you a little bit over here. That's because I'm actually terrified that you're going to like ask me
to do this,
to live this life that I don't want to live.
Right.
And he turns out he wasn't asking me to do that. What he wanted me to do was let go.
Mm.
He knew that I needed, and because as soon as I said that prayer, just like it all went away. And I instantly had peace. That wasn't what it all, the thing I was worried about, he wasn't even asking me to do. But he knew I was holding back. I wasn't giving him myself.
Everything.
And since then, I've had other moments like that where I remember, no, I need to talk to him about this instead of kind of worry about it to myself and pull back in my own prayer. And it's just, it always is so beautiful. Those are just great moments where I realize I have a fear. I'm afraid of what Christ might ask me to do. And when I let go and I'm up front with him about it, it's just, oh man.
But I do this all the time. Like, oh, I'm afraid that the Lord's going to ask more of me as a husband, of denying myself even more, or as a father, of having to like take more time out of what I want to do to be more of a father. And every time that I surrender that and I'm able to give that time up and turns out lay down my life for my wife and lay down my life for my children, it is much more gratifying. This is, again, this is the beautiful paradox, I guess, of the Christian life, that the more that you actually lay down your life for the other, the more joyful and fulfilled you are.
Mm-hmm.
This is why I was trying to say, like, joy sometimes is not necessarily happiness.
Mm.
Right? It's not like, it's not a, like, those two things are not synonyms.
Right.
Right? Because you can be not doing what you want to do. You know, through Exodus 90, I don't want to take the cold shower.
Yeah.
But by doing it and doing it for a specific purpose to train my will to say no to smaller things so I can say yes to greater things brings me joy.
Totally. Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
When like, you know, on Wednesdays or in Fridays when we're abstaining and we're fasting, right? And there are times where Dad isn't eating at dinner, at the dinner table.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sitting there. Everybody's eating. Dad, why are you not eating? You know, I'm fasting today.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it's like, but we had a deep conversation the other day at the dinner table talking about fasting. It's like, Dad, why are you not fasting? Or why are you not eating? I'm fasting today. Well, aren't you hungry? Yes. Well,
yeah, I'm starving.
Yeah. It's like, I'm really hungry. And it's like, but like, so are you mad about it? And it's like, no, I'm joyful about it. And that did not compute with the kids. Yeah. It's like, they don't understand that because they associate joy with opening up presents and,
right,
you know, candy canes and popcorn and, you know, like, just,
yeah,
like,
cause when
fun
it's
things.
Animated by love. Actually, all of, it's just love just has this transformative.
That's right.
Just absolutely inside out.
That's right.
Of everything. I want to read this quote here. I'll read it when we get back.
Mm-mm. We're done.
Oh, well, I'll read it on the podcast. If you want to hear the quote I was about to read, because it's about having a trust in God, it's something that's very, very apropos.
We're out of time on Catholic Radio. Thank you so much for listening on Catholic Radio. Support your Catholic Radio station near you.
Come with us to Rome.
Subscribe to their podcast. We're on the Lord's team.
The winning side.
So raise your glass.
And cheers to Jesus. So I just want to acknowledge how radical of an idea this is.
Okay.
And it I think it even kind of has the aroma of, what is the right word? Like, nonsense, maybe, that, oh, no.
Are you okay if I smoke my pipe?
Yeah, I am. You know, that this idea that, no, God is speaking to you in everything, that nothing happens by accident, that all things, literally, the smallest thing is significant, or has, maybe it has some significance, okay? There is nothing that's insignificant. and that you are just going to say, no, I trust in him. He will provide for me. Okay, this is
the childlike trust.
I want to acknowledge that this is incredibly radical. That you're going to,
if you're above the age of like 6.
Yeah, I mean, this is an adult.
Yeah, I'm just saying, like, it's actually.
But yeah, yes, I see what you're saying. Yeah, for children, this is exactly the life they live
every day.
They have no doubt. They don't wonder who's going to feed us tomorrow. Well, obviously, we're going to be fed, right? But you know what I was mentioning before about being afraid to trust in God. When I read this quote, it just hit. It's like, man, yes, that's exactly how I had been feeling. So he's talking about obeying God's will here, just this context. He says, we often live in the past and the future at the same time, which gives us a feeling of inner division and is perhaps the main cause of our weariness. We have not surrendered our past with its guilt and painful wounds. We carry it with us like a heavy burden. We do not dare surrender our future to God. We are afraid that he will take advantage of our trust.
Totally. Totally. Yes. Absolutely.
I mean, like when I read that, it's just like, yes, I'm afraid he's going to take advantage of my trust. Why am I afraid of that? It's because of my past, because I take advantage of his love for me. And I'm afraid he's going to, you know, I don't trust him. I'm afraid he's going to be like I am.
Right.
And I'm carrying around these wounds with me all the time, and I'm applying that to him.
Right.
I'm carrying these burdens.
Yeah. And you can see where the father wound comes in here, right? Because if you have a father wound where your father took advantage of your love, took advantage of your trust, and didn't do the right thing, well, you're like, well, that's what a father does.
Mm-hmm.
He takes advantage. But that's not what our Heavenly Father does.
Mm-hmm. Right. That's not actually what a father does. Maybe
right.
A father has done that.
Right.
Maybe your father has done that. Maybe you are a father who has done that. Okay? But that's not the Heavenly Father who loves perfectly, unconditionally, right? So when I read that, it's just, man, that really got to the heart of the matter for me, is this is why I think we're afraid to abandon ourselves. It's because we're afraid we can't trust God.
Yeah.
That I know I want to love him. I know, I might know that he is the source of all goodness.
Right. Intellectually, I know he wants more for me and better than I can ever imagine.
Right. Or maybe it's the other way around. Maybe my heart yearns for him, but intellectually, I'm actually saying...
Oh, see, mine's... Well,
I think it's both. I think you might come to a philosophical understanding of, yes, I see that there is the good and the God who created, and yes, I believe that. But experientially... You know, you have this part of your memory. In fact, there's a whole section in here about the cleansing of the memory, which was excellent. And I wanted to talk about, I wanted to get that with you today because I know that's like something you like to talk about. He talks about this, the effect that this has on cleansing the memory.
Yeah.
So intellectually is two things. You can have this philosophical understanding, but also I think we have these experiences where our heart is yearning. And you want, it's like you're moved in this direction, but your brain is like, wait, we need to guard ourselves.
Right.
You know, I have these self-defense mechanisms that I've built for good reasons in my life.
Or, yeah.
You know, they're good. I mean, there's probably good reasons why you have these self-defense mechanisms. Yeah. But God is not the person who's wounded you.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody's wounded, all right? To be wounded is to fit in. I mean, really, who isn't? So, you know, this is why this is difficult.
Yeah.
Because we have to abandon. It's almost like he talks a lot in this book about it's a death. Abandoning yourself is dying. Mm-hmm. You are actually surrendering yourself to death. That you're just abandoning all what feels like hope of living into the loving care of the Father. And it's just, it's, it starts off really small, like we talked about in the beginning. It's just remembering that the Lord cares for us and that everything that happens every day, all the time,
yeah,
is something that the Lord wills for us.
Yeah.
And so we can participate in that, and we just have to remember to have that frame of mind and to keep that present as we go about our day. And, you know, like, I'm tomorrow morning going to wake up and have forgotten to do this. I'm going to keep trying. I've been trying to for a long time to remember this all the time. Very little progress, if we can be honest with each other. Can we be honest?
Yeah, we're off of Catholic radio.
Yeah. Very little progress, but some, you know. It's a great book. I highly recommend it. Once again, it's Into Your Hands, Father, Abandoning Ourselves to the God Who Loves Us. The Soul of the Apostolate was the name of the book I was trying to think of before.
Got it.
That was one of my favorites.
There's a whole section.
Highly quoted in here, in this book. Anything else? I mean, do you want to talk about the memory? I think we could save that for another time, or we could talk about it now. I'm going to let you decide, and you're going to be the word, like, you're going to be the divine providence in my life right now, Adam. No pressure.
That is a lot of pressure. let's save it. Let's save it. That could be another. It could be another episode. I do really like talking about that because I feel that every man struggles with wounds in their lives,
mm-hmm.
and bringing it back up, and they're taking the wounds that have happened in their lives and like putting them into situations that actually shouldn't be put into that situation, but that's just your experiential knowledge of what you're expecting.
Yeah. You know, I had one sin in my life that I had confessed, but still I just carried a lot of shame. I was just really ashamed of myself. And it, you know, it had been years. And so one time I was in confession and I brought it up to the priest. I said, you know, I have confessed this before. I understand it's forgiven, but it's just something I just have a lot of shame about. And he like stopped me and he's like, okay, today is Divine Mercy Sunday. And it was, it happened to be Divine Mercy Sunday. And he's like, forever, I want you to remember that you brought this up on Divine Mercy Sunday and that it is forgiven. And he like looked at me, he was like, so like.
And you looked down and he was like, no, you.
Yes, I mean, it was like, I wish priests would do this. This is what I need. When a priest like gets serious with me and like basically gives me a marching order, mm-hmm. a command, I'm like, yes, I will do it. You know, like, that's what if I had a spiritual director who would just like basically like bind me under the like holy obedience for all these, like, you will do this, you will do this. Here's your list of things. I bind these, you know, like, I'll do it. I would be so.
You are a rule follower.
I can follow the rules.
Yeah.
I can. It's like one of the things I can do well. I can be obedient. But I would have made a great soldier.
Oh, yeah.
Except I'm so tall. I'd get shot so fast.
Yeah, I would like to be the general and you be the soldier.
Anyway, it was just like when he said that, it healed me.
Yeah.
Like it wasn't boom, I'm
right.
better.
All right.
But every time I started to have that guilt and mm-hmm. Just humiliation, I just remembered him looking me in the eyes and saying like, you no. remember, he said this to me, I'll never forget it, you remember forever. And it was like, boom, you know? And I wasn't even forgiven on that day because I had already confessed this.
Right.
You know, it was just, I just received a lot of healing on that day. And it is something that was in my memory, you know, that I had to let go of. But it took help.
Divine
help. That's right. So that would be a great topic for another day. More about healing of the memory.
Very good.
Abandon yourself, Adam.
To the divine will. Thy will be done.